My daughter and I were chatting the other day about the idea of an opinion being wrong. Not an opinion about if the water is too hot or too cold, but opinions about ideas and information. Young students of nearly any discipline form opinions early on, and as they read and learn more, those opinions are enhanced and, in good students of any age, altered to include the new information. Philosophy and history work like that. Reading only secondary sources misses a tremendous amount of primary content, which is key to forming a sound opinion. So too it is in economics, and that is part of our talk today. I read an interview, and some of the opinions seemed just off. I feel certain that if you think the topic is a bore, my presentation should be engaging. The Culinary Libertarian Podcast, Episode 82.
Welcome to the Culinary Libertarian Podcast, where the philosophy is free, but the food is on you.
Hello, folks. Dan Reed here, the Culinary Libertarian. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. Sashay over to my podcasts page, culinarylibertarian.com/podcasts, to find a few things there, including the archive of all the shows, show notes pages, my social media tabs where you can follow the Culinary Libertarian and join in the Eating Liberty Facebook group. You can buy or download my foolproof muffins, recipes that work every time e-cookbook, and click the support link to find the page with all the links to all the podcatchers hosting the Culinary Libertarian Podcast. Also find my affiliates for at least American history and the founding in Brian McClanahan's McClanahan Academy and Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom. And you will also find the tutorial membership with Kiko's Cakes, so you can make that amazing Mother's Day tart or torte or amazing dessert because it's a Wednesday. Another way you can support the show is with a monthly donation to Patreon. Anarchist Mom recently started supporting the show, and you can too. Just click the icon on the support page. For your Mother's Day coffee mug gift needs or just general sassy messaging for those pesky coworkers, visit my Cranky Without Coffee Mug store linked on the support page. I'm going to start this episode with a quote from an article I read recently. Quote, "This is devastating for so many people, but on the positive side, it exposes the limits of our system and what happens when capitalism is unchecked," end quote. That quote is from Top Chef judge and host Tom Colicchio. Tom is also a restaurateur. He knows the food business. Colicchio was recently interviewed by Aaron Gell, or Gell, for Marker, an imprint of Medium, the online magazine, to discuss the rapid and scary changes in the restaurant business in the wake of the COVID-19 concerns. "I don't know Tom. I've never met Tom, nor have I eaten in any of his restaurants. The closest I've come to talking to him is by yelling at the TV during Top Chef judging. Tom has shown a keen sense for cooking and flavors, and his reputation as a cook seems well-earned and intact. Success with a variety of businesses for 19 years is not an accident. Tom, as a chef, is top-notch. Tom, as an economist, is left wanting. That he's bad on economics isn't entirely his fault. One important issue in any complex topic is defining your terms. What is capitalism? That's a good first place to start. I suppose many people think of that Monopoly character with the top hat and monocle, lighting cigars with $100 bills and jetting off to somewhere. From that image, we think of the capitalists as the privileged class. Herb Island, writing in his article, Capitalism Makes No Sense, for the libertarianinstitute.org, writes, quote, "The problem here is that the formal definition provides no guidance regarding the functioning of the system. This means proponents will see what they want to see, while opponents tend to see other things entirely," end quote. In this piece, Herr cites Gary Chartier, who has developed a thought which rejects the term capitalist and focuses on the market instead. Chartier writes in the article, "We should abolish the term capitalism. Quote, advocates of liberty have every reason not to support this use of, quote, capitalism, unquote, unless they want to endorse the dubious notion that free markets involve privilege and lead to hierarchy, abuse, and poverty," end quote. As rabbit holes go, it is an interesting one, but beyond the scope of this episode. I will put a link to Per's article and Gary's article on today's show notes page, culinarylibertarian.com/82. My definition is rather plain and goes like this. Capitalism is the voluntary transactions between two people. It's pretty simple. I buy something I want from a seller who wishes to obtain my cash. The detail implied in that is it's private property. I cannot spend what is not mine, and the marketer cannot sell what is not his. The critical element missing is the beauty of the system as described. There is no state agent involved. Now, yes, I know there's taxation, all kinds of other things, but that's also another episode. I was not coerced to buy that specific item, shoelaces or razors, and the seller was not coerced to sell at a price he did not prefer. Folks, I want to start the discussion of what capitalism means, but before I do that, let's take a minute out for a word about my affiliate, Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom. I mentioned Liberty Classroom at the opening of the show, but I want to now tell you about one specific course among the over 24 courses on Liberty Classroom. The course is What's Wrong with Textbook Economics, and is taught by former Culinary Libertarian Podcast guest, Dr. Jeffrey Herbner. Over 31 video or audio lectures, and all the lectures come with both audio and video, Dr. Herbner starts with what it means to think as an economist and ends the series with the consequences of government debt. Boy, that's timely, huh? When you subscribe to the Tom Woods Liberty Classroom, you get access to all the courses, including the two other economics courses, as well as Logic, Western Civilizations, the Constitution, the Best and Worst Presidents, and more. Each course can be downloaded as an audiobook, that is, all of the audio lessons in one file, or you can download the audio courses each as a zip file. And if you subscribe at the master level, which is a lifetime membership to all the courses currently in the curriculum, as well as all the courses to be made, you get access to the instructors in chats, and maybe the best bonus, Ron Paul, Western Civilizations 1 and 2, and the government course. I use them with my 7th grader, and they are exceptionally well-paced with great content. Use my affiliate link, culinarylibertarian.com/biteback, to sign up. That's culinarylibertarian.com/biteback to bite back against the failed education from the state. Now that there is no government school, you can start a proper education for your kids. culinarylibertarian.com/biteback. Now let's get back into the show. What else can capitalism mean? Clicchio makes a few telling comments which shows his view is not the system I've described. He prefers a system in which the state and general governments are, in fact, part of the equation. In the quote opening this episode, Clicchio mentions unchecked capitalism. The food and beverage industry is overwhelmed with regulation and laws and rules for this and that. Chartier writes in his article, quote, to a very significant degree, the economic system we have now is one from which many peaceful, voluntary exchanges are absent, end quote. Where is this unchecked part? Colicchio has restaurants in New York City, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas. Who compelled him to open them? To borrow a popular left term, no one needs more than one restaurant. That the opening of each was allowed after many forms completed, inspections made, fees paid, is not what anyone can reasonably call unchecked. Labor, as an expense, is quite detailed and specific and not unchecked. What Colicchio means, I think, is there isn't enough government at the cash register and at the back office. Speaking this is almost laugh out loud absurd. There exist regulations about from whom restaurants may purchase food, fish, meat, and the regulations down the line to the field and the farmers or the ocean or the fishermen are plentiful. Along the way, someone in government is reconciling a credit card payment to cover a fee charged either that grower or the producer to buy permission from the state to grow food. Unchecked? Not remotely. Cash is king in the restaurant business. Credit is queen, both as revenue and a source of relief or support. The attention to daily and weekly and quarterly reports is critical to know how to manage the business to meet the goals. Paying 30 or 45 days out is not uncommon in restaurants. Fish deliveries last month are paid this month. If a profit is made, and that's not easy or always the case, it goes into a savings for downtimes, renovations, repairs, security for a loan, or a dozen other things that can come up. By Colicchio's own admission, the low cost of money has been a tease to many businesses to expand and grow. When they did, as Colicchio did, watching the numbers on the reports becomes a need to make sure there's the income to repay the loans. Now, with the COVID overreaction, there isn't an income, and he wants government to do something about that. Folks, let's pause for a moment for a word from my sponsor. Hey, folks, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me tell you why. It's free. Free is good. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or your computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, CastBox, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with sponsors, just like this one, with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And if you use your phone, you can be podcast on the spot, getting news and interesting things, whatever appeals to you, wherever you are. Download the free app to your phone or go to anchor.fm to get started creating your podcast today. You've listened to the world on podcasts. Now go tell the world your story. Visit anchor.fm today to get started. Now let's get back into the show. Economist Peter Schiff explains in his April 2nd podcast that other complications exist now for the restaurant business, which include forced higher minimum wages in the form of mandated paid leave, and the interest on loans are increasing. The cheap money loan is more expensive to pay back. The increased wages for employees not working and loans due with severely decreased income is a recipe for default. Colicchio is a smart guy. He's a news hawk, and he's pretty savvy. That makes the statement conflicts particularly frustrating. Cooks get personal responsibility. Burnt or brilliant, it's on you. These two statements, then, don't make sense together. Quote, but because money has been cheap over the past couple of years, and it's been like grow, a lot of restaurant groups went to banks and took out big loans, figuring, well, the money's coming in, we'll be okay. Then the cash flow stops dead. A lot of companies are in big trouble. End quote. Follow that with the quote which opened the episode, and these, quote, the focus on quarterly earnings, we need to see an end of that, end quote. Next one, quote, for years we've been fed the idea that big government is bad. And I agree, dumb big government is bad. What we need is smart government that's going to understand the needs of real people and be responsive. And we're seeing that now. People are starting to realize the role government has to play, end quote. Big government made cheap money a thing, and that one person coerced any owner to take those loans. Any role the government plays will be within a system of intense checks and double checks. The suggestion that cheap money loans accepted voluntarily that require payment is the exemplar of unchecked capitalism seems incomprehensible. Admittedly, I am a cynic that all government is dumb, for it knows not how to be elsewise. Governments fail at providing value mostly because it provides nothing. It produces zero things. Governments only take from the people who make the things. Colicchio's desire for the government to do something is very un-Cook-like. The expansion of one restaurant to more restaurants isn't a general government problem. Looking for a handout from the very entity which labored well to create the problem only adds more problems and provides no solutions. Yet to the government he and his lobbying group petitioned. Colicchio pieced together the Independent Restaurant Coalition to, quote, tap into whatever stimulus Congress puts together, end quote. The next paragraph reads, quote, the Senate just passed the CARES Act, and it contains all the key provisions we pushed for, including 4 months of unemployment and loans to restaurants with forgiveness to cover expenses and payroll, end quote. It is a bit ironic and apropos that government waste is called pork, for this CARES bill is full of fat. I asked our friend John Moody, the homesteader and activist and farmer, he'll hate activists probably, from episode 42, his initial impression of the CARES Act, and his paraphrased response was a poop storm of stupidity on so many levels. Loans which may be forgiven aren't loans. That's a present, a gift. One might as well put a gallon of soup on the stove and expect to serve from it 5 gallons of soup. It simply cannot be done. The restaurant business and many more businesses are in for some really hard times. Expecting the business landscape to look the same when all this is over seems romantic enough for all involved to avoid pain, but it isn't realistic. And it isn't a solution. From a libertarian position, with broad strokes to at least illustrate the point, to use Chartier's word, a market-oriented system would approach a restaurant business differently. No food inspections from the state. Of course, restaurants would be inspected, but not by the state. Restaurants can form guilds and create a body to do inspecting. In addition, inspections can be tied to both the bank loan and the insurance rates. Restaurants and all businesses, really, which perform well, which pass the inspection a guild created, and pass the inspection from the insurance company and from the bank, can get better insurance rates, possibly better terms on the loan, in either fewer payments or lower interest, some incentive to the owner to run a safe and sanitary operation. Social media apps can also serve a vital role in praising or shaming a restaurant, which they kind of already have. So that social media example will have detractors. Abuses, you may say, perhaps, but it's kind of abused now. Well, not now, because, you know, no one's allowed to go out to restaurants by usurpers in chief of each state, most states. But you get the idea that that social media user who didn't get a replacement fork in the few seconds allowed, who leaves a bad review, people can see through that. That so much of the COVID virus issue was mismanaged is plain, and more of that's been coming out of late, and the subject for someone else's show. The issue I have is that private businesses are not the problem of the general government. That's a state and or local issue. The CARES Act reads like a bailout. People who never ate and will never eat at one of Caligula's restaurants are now paying to help him and thousands of other restaurants and more, such as airlines, stay open. If those businesses are inefficient before the CARES Act, they'll be inefficient afterwards. The inefficiency will just be prolonged. Now, I know this comes off as hard-hearted. Dan wants to deny folks help. What could you do for your family if your portion of $2 trillion wasn't demanded from you? You can't opt out of it. You have to pay it. Couldn't you use that money better for you than they can use that money for you? No one has a painless, perfect solution. Making your pain more by taking from you for another is not a solution. Being taxed through the teeth bears no resemblance to capitalism in any form. The last irony today is that monopoly capitalist, the one with all the privilege, is exactly how Caligula was able to do what only a select few can: to lobby Congress for change and get it. It really does make you wonder where he sees unchecked capitalism. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'll put the links to the articles on the show notes page, culinarylibertarian.com/82. If you're up for it, the Chartier piece, Advocates of Freed Markets Should Oppose Capitalism, is a bit chewy, but I found it a very interesting alternative view. I would say that this is not introductory material. You are your own best judge, of course, but I think it is worth getting to. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. If you can find flour, bake some muffins with the kids. It's math and science and tasty treats. I'm working on an update to the Foolproof Muffins ebook with a few new recipes to add, and I'll tease you with this nugget that I have a surprise in the next coming weeks. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.